Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. It is a special privilege for us to be able to provide this broadcast each Sunday morning for your listening enjoyment and inspiration. Our broadcast is enjoyed by many different people in our area and community. We are grateful for your support. We thank you for your prayers and your financial gifts as well. Radio CJMQ covers a wide area. We have regular listeners in the eastern townships of Quebec and also in the states of Vermont and New Hampshire. We welcome your questions and comments. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. And you can access the program on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Good day to you, and welcome to this Word of Grace broadcast here on CJMQ. This program is brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke, which gathers Sunday by Sunday at 10:30 a.m. at its building at 256 Rue Queen Street in Lennoxville. My name is Nigel Parker, and I am the minister of the congregation. Welcome to you, whatever your church connection, and whether you have a church connection or none. We begin with words from Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Our first musical item. In prayer.
Take it to the Lord in prayer. Take it to the Lord in
We draw near to God in prayer. Let's pray. Lord, in reverence and praise, we come to worship you, for you hear and answer our prayer, and you offer loving encouragement and strength when we are weighed down by our fears. You created the heavens and the earth, and no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Your mysteries are more than we can comprehend. And though even the good endure great trials, you come in person to rescue and to restore them. You have come to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, who embodied your compassion for all who suffer the darkness of a broken world. And in the face of the forces of evil and death, he offered himself once for all. You raised him to life again, making him a perfect high priest. We know that we've done things that were wrong. Please forgive our faults. While we only deserve judgment, you offer us grace and the hope of a life renewed. Merciful Father, we thank you that through Jesus Christ we are forgiven, we are renewed, and through him we are taught how to live and serve. Our God of restoration, in our blindness and ignorance, you open our eyes and lead us to truth. In our arrogance and defiance, you still our souls and teach us humility. In our weakness and displacement, you protect us and lead us home. And so we praise you and thank you with all our hearts. Amen. The other week, it was a delight when a lady came to church for the first time in quite a little while. "Oh, I'm sorry, Minister," she said. "I was having my eyes done." No, she wasn't having eyeliner and mascara done, and I don't know all the ins and outs of what she had had done, but so often I've met people who've had to have their cataracts done. It was a medical procedure that she had done. A cataract is a clouding of the normally clear lens of the eye. And for people who have cataracts, seeing through cloudy lenses is a bit like looking through frosty or fogged up window. Clouded vision caused by cataracts can make it more difficult to read, to drive a car, especially at night, or see the expression on a friend's face. Most cataracts develop slowly and don't disturb your eyesight earlier on, but with time, cataracts will eventually interfere with your vision. But when the cataracts are treated, it's like a new lease of life. You hadn't realised how bad your eyesight had gotten before the operation to clear the lens. We're going to be reading a Bible story and thinking about a narrative about blindness and sightedness. But first, another musical item.
I believe for every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows. I believe that somewhere in the darkest night, a candle glows. I believe for everyone who goes astray, someone will come to show the way. Yes, I believe. I believe above the storm, the smallest prayer will still be heard. I believe that someone in the great somewhere hears every word. Every time I hear a newborn baby cry, or touch a leaf, or see the sky, then I
reading is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, at verse 46. They came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me!" Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me!" Jesus stopped and said to him, "Call him." And so they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. Bartimaeus had once had normal eyesight, we think, but now he was blind. Through illness or injury, we don't know. But the fact that we are told who his father was suggests that he'd not always been a beggar on the street, and that's where his blindness had left him. One of the things we can learn from the story of Bartimaeus is that there are things that blind people see that most sighted people cannot see. Blindness is part of the story in Mark's Gospel. There's a running thread, not a running joke, but a running thread about eyesight. But it's not all about the problems you can solve with a new pair of glasses or eye surgery. Mark cuts stories about Jesus restoring sight to the blind with stories of him trying to get the disciples or the religious leaders or the crowds to see things that they seem unable to understand. 2.5 chapters before this story, there's another story of Jesus healing a blind man, and the material that there is framed by two stories that are meant, and it's meant to be heard in the light of them. The first story, Jesus has to have two goes at restoring the man's sight. After his first attempt, the man reports that he can see people, but they look more like trees walking around. And Jesus has to have a second go before the man can see fully. Clearly, it's not easy to get those who cannot see to see. But that's the point of the story. Just as Jesus has to have a double shot of healing the blind man, so Jesus has to work hard to get people to see what he's talking about. And the next few chapters bear that out over and over again. He keeps trying to explain what he's on about and what it's going to mean, and no one much ever seems to see more clearly than trees walking around. Jesus asks who the disciples think he is, and Peter gives a good answer, "You are the Son of God." And then immediately demonstrates that he can't really see what that means. Three disciples accompany Jesus up the mountain of transfiguration and catch a glimpse of his true identity. But they can't see what it means, and so they say, oh, let's build some tents here. Jesus keeps trying to explain how he will be rejected and persecuted, but the disciples just keep on arguing about which of them is the greatest. He keeps suggesting that they need to look at children and slaves and the disabled if they want to understand the nature of the kingdom. But they can't see it and keep on jostling for positions. Isn't it true that there are none so blind as will not see? I meet lots of nice people in the course of my work who are most kind and favourable and so on. We might even discuss faith and believe in the person of Jesus. But to shift a conviction that life is more than what we see or what we eat and what we wear, that there's more truth in the universe than can be seen with a microscope or tested in a test tube, that who and what we are need not be determined by genetics and background, that all belief about God is simply not simply a projection of our own needs, that's when people get blind. And then we meet Bartimaeus. Although his eyesight doesn't work, there are things that he sees that everyone else is having difficulty making out. We'll think about that after our next musical item. Bartimaeus shows us that seeing what matters is not all about eyesight. The things that really matter are just as likely to be seen by those who are physically blind. Firstly, Bartimaeus recognizes that Jesus is not just someone who could throw a few coins into his cap, but someone who had power to open people's eyes. Bartimaeus often used to call out to passers-by, asking for mercy and for money. And I'm sure after a time, he and his needs and his cries merged into the background and were simply an invisible part of the landscape of people's lives. And when Bartimaeus began to make a fuss and raising his voice when Jesus comes by, even when people try to shut him up and keep him away, just as they had done with the children a few verses back, but he perseveres and asks that his eyes might be opened. This man can see that Jesus is a miracle worker. There are those who are blinded by skepticism in this day and age. They're blind to the possibility that Jesus may have even existed and that he performed miracles. They a priori simply believe that he never existed, and if he did, well, he never did anything. It was all made up after his death by his well-wishing followers. A Jewish historian called Josephus, who was born just 4 years after the crucifixion of Jesus, wrote up the stories of Jesus for the Roman audience that he was employed by. He had no difficulty in writing that Jesus, about this time, There lived Jesus, a wise man, if indeed one ought to call him a man, for he was one who performed surprising deeds and was a teacher of such people as accept the truth gladly. He won over many Jews and many of the Greeks. Now, while that passage is contested, he had no difficulty in seeing what so few in our sophisticated, enlightened age think, that Jesus existed and he did miraculous things. That Bartimaeus may have been physically blind, but unlike the blind skeptic of our present age, he was not blinded by an inflated view of his own knowledge. The hymn says, "Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain." Bartimaeus was able to see what the others could not see, and that is that Jesus opens eyes. Secondly, Bartimaeus recognizes that Jesus is not just a teacher and a healer, but is the new David, the Messiah for whom Israel has been longing. There's more to Jesus than the miracles. Bartimaeus is the first person in Mark's Gospel to address Jesus as the Son of David, as the one who is coming to fulfill the history and the destiny of the people of God, the Anointed One of God, the one who would bring God's very presence into the world. How did he get to that point? He had, by definition, not witnessed any of our Lord's mighty miracles. He'd not had the opportunity of looking at dead people being raised with a word. He had never seen lepers being healed by a touch. Of all these things, his blindness totally deprived him. But he had heard the report of the Lord's mighty works, and hearing had believed. He was satisfied from what he heard that Jesus, of whom such wonderful things were reported, must be more than just a teacher or a healer, but must be the one that everyone was looking for. And so when he drew near, Bartimaeus cried to Jesus, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Some in our age are blinded by skepticism. Bartimaeus' eyes were opened by hearing the stories of Jesus and believing them. And thirdly, Bartimaeus can see that when it comes to following Jesus, Bartimaeus can see of enough of what he needs to do. There's no need to keep a foot in each camp and cling to the securities of the past. Other disciples had left their nets, but the rich young man had been unable to leave his possessions. But Bartimaeus has no hesitation. He throws aside his cloak, the cloak he spread out to receive the coins for which he begged, the cloak that was his livelihood, the cloak he could see would no longer be needed, and he followed Jesus on the way. Can you see how this blind man chose the way for us? We who are blinded by unbelief and skepticism, who learn to believe by hearing. Can you not see how his response is a model for our response? His history concludes with the touching expression, "He followed Jesus in the way." Maybe for you and for me, following in the way of Jesus will involve telling someone the Jesus story, that in hearing it, they who are inwardly blind might believe and see. The hymn says, "Lord, I was blind, I could not see in thy marred visage any grace, but now the beauty of thy face in radiant vision dawns on me. Lord, I was dead, I could not stir my lifeless soul to come to thee, but now since thou hast quickened me, I rise from sin's dark sepulchre. For thou hast made the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak, the dead to live. And lo, I break the chains of my captivity." O God, we come to you because we know you'll hear our cry. We come to you because you call us to be near to you. We come to you because you deliver and save. We come to you now with our prayers and petitions. in the noise of voices calling for vengeance and restitution, for judgment and punishment, we pray for the courage to speak out for restoration. When grief and pain, poverty and persecution leave people blind to grace and compassion, we pray for the courage to carry the light of comfort and consolation, love and forgiveness. Where the quest to even the score has left our world angry and wounded, we pray for the courage to release our grievances and seek wholeness for all. As you intercede for us, Jesus, we intercede for our world, that all may know the good news of restoration in Christ. We pray for the local and universal church. Give us the humility to walk in your way. We pray for the leaders of our nations and the nations around the world. Open the eyes of their understanding that they may have courage to walk in the paths of peace. We pray for those who are in need, for those in any particular kind of infirmity, but remembering especially those who wrestle with issues of eyesight and declining vision. Give us ears to hear their cries and be agents of your mercy. In our praying, Heavenly Loving Father, we choose to celebrate in the midst of grief because it reminds us of hope and brings us comfort to our broken hearts. We choose to celebrate in the midst of poverty because it speaks of wealth beyond material things and gives dignity to our humbled heart. We choose to celebrate in the midst of suffering because it lightens our darkness and inspires strength in our fragile hearts. Though crosses may loom and opponents gather, through our devotion to you, we choose to embrace and enjoy for our own sake and that of the least the healing power of celebration. And as we lift our own hidden prayers to you, God of wholeness, we celebrate the healing you bring to us and our world, and we celebrate the promised wholeness that awaits all of creation in your eternal reign. Hear our prayer, for we offer it in the name of Jesus, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.